Welcome back to the We Was Rebels podcast. I'm your host, Brandon.
I'm your other host, Chanel.
And we are back to talk about a new show, Ahsoka.
Ahsoka time.
Chanel, what did you think about the episode?
I thought it was cool. It was
episodes, you know, I should say. Episodes.
We're getting there. Before we get into that, I just want to acknowledge that apparently last week I was smacking on the mic, and if I ever do that, I apologize because I think I'm on mute and I'm not. But we had fun doing Hijack. Now we're moving on to a new show, and this is different for us because we've always done like prestige shit, and this is the first time we're doing something where, like, I don't have any context. So yeah, hopefully people like the new coverage. But what did you think?
So you aren't alone. A lot of people were excited about this show, but it's also like the first niche show that Star Wars did, in the sense that you know, the other live action shows were either tied directly to the movies, mm-hmm. right? So it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi, which everyone knows you watch Star Wars, or Boba Fett, who everyone knows they watch Star Wars, or it was The Mandalorian, which was like a new story. So everybody who started mm-hmm. watching it together, right? Because mm-hmm. you never heard of The Mandalorian, so it was new to everyone. Mm-hmm. This show is essentially like season 5 of Star Wars Rebels, which was mm-hmm. a cartoon show. And so everybody who watched Rebels is like crazy excited for it. Like, obviously, my friend Mike is just like absurdly excited for it. They had like a watch party, him and his friends, to watch it. But everyone else who didn't watch Rebels is like, what the fuck? And who the fuck are all these people? Like, no one, you don't know who any of these people are. So it's like this new thing. So it'd be interesting. I watched 3 seasons of Rebels. I didn't finish Rebels.
Oh, wow.
So I know these characters a little bit, but it'd be interesting to see, especially from your perspective and other people who are like watching this, who don't know anything about these characters.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got for you basically, is a perspective of like, I could put 2 and 2 together. And also for context, I am a like legacy Star Wars fan. So I have seen all the movies more than once, understand the core characters. So I felt like I could just jump into this shit and we would figure it out. But we'll see if I actually have anything right. You know, we'll see if what I'm saying is making sense. But I do think the show did jump right in a way where I was like, maybe it's just me who's noticing that. But at the same time, it kind of doesn't matter because every show jumps right in and kind of tells you a story, and you're supposed to just like kind of get yourself caught up. So yeah, that, I mean, you know, they're doing their thing already.
No, it wasn't just you. Do you know how any of these characters are connected to any of the characters you know about?
You told me, and she mentioned that Ahsoka was Anakin's Padawan, but it didn't finish because I think became Darth Vader before that could happen. Probably.
Well, no, they were really close, and then something happened. I forget what happened, but something happened, and they blamed Ahsoka. The Jedi's blamed Ahsoka for it, even though she didn't do it. So they kicked her out of the Jedi Order. And that's one of the things that set Anakin off about the Jedi's, because he and Ahsoka were really close.
But you know what's so funny about that is that's also like a retelling of history, right? Because that's not at all like a part of the conversation, I think, in the movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that mm-hmm. he's mad because of that. So I think they're kind of like making it all fit. But because like, you don't ever have him be like, and the way y'all did Ahsoka. Like, you know, but I appreciate them trying to merge the 2 timelines.
Yeah, that was one of the things that pissed them off. So like, she got kicked out, and then they realized it wasn't her, and so they tried to like let her back in, but she was just like, I don't really fuck with y'all like that no more because y'all kicked me out. And so that's kind of how that happened. So yeah, this I thought the episode was a lot of exposition, but mm-hmm. I thought it was needed to an extent, because I think a lot of people are watching this have no fucking idea who any of these people are. They don't know who Sabine is. They don't know who Ezra is. They don't know who the Night Witches are. Like, mm-hmm. none of these people. It's just all new stuff. And so they got to explain this stuff to people, or else they're going to be lost. So I hope they get that out they got a lot of that out these first two episodes to like try to explain to you what the hell's going on. I think the first two episodes were, I think they released the first two episodes because it was like one big episode. Like it was really just like one connected episode that they split into two. And then I guess we're gonna get the rest of the season going and a lot of the action coming going forward. So, I mean, I liked it. I'm really excited for it because I like the character Ahsoka from what I've seen from her. And I want to see what's gonna happen. We didn't have any other new emails. We didn't have did we have any reviews?
Yeah, I have a review that came in from a friend. So I sh was doing word of mouth outreach with the show here, and so a friend checked it out, and this is what he said. And I thought you would appreciate it. Okay, so he wa I think he started at Succession because that's what a lot of people were talking about when I brought up the podcast, and so he said, love the podcast. Y'all have so much chemistry. I think you, Brandon, and this one, Rich was here, have such unique perspectives. Love the comparisons to other shows and sports. I listened to a piece of the Succession finale while on the drive back to school. And the King Lear analogy is super fascinating because I didn't even think about that parallel, but there's so many similarities to it and just other Shakespeare tropes, I bet. Honestly, I agree with Brandon, though. It's a top 10 show for me. I feel like that. Hopefully, he binges more TV shows now, talking about you binging more. The characters were all so self-destructive and it sucked to see them suffer. I was kind of sad none of the three got the company, but hearing y'all talk about it makes me appreciate it in a different way. Excited to finish listening to this one and then watch Righteous Gemstones or Hijack so I can hear y'all review it too. And I forgot who mentioned it, but someone said something along the lines of that's one of the only times I saw Kendall genuinely smile when Shiv and Roman made him king with that smoothie and said they'd give him the company, and then everything went to shit literally the next day. The story toyed with us too much, definitely an emotional roller coaster. So I really enjoyed having somebody I know like watch a podcast and appreciate it. So just wanted to share.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the review. That's good feedback as well. All right, so let's get into these episodes. Episode one was called Master and Apprentice. And we kind of open up. We get a crawl, which was exciting. I haven't seen a crawl in a while. Let me see if I thought I wrote down the crawl, but let me see if I have it. Yeah, okay, here it is. So the Ahsoka Crawl said, the Evil Galactic Empire has failed and a new republic has risen to take its place. However, sinister agents are already at work to undermine the fragile peace. A plot is underway to find the lost Imperial Grand Admiral Thrawn and bring him out of exile. Once presumed dead, rumors are spreading on Thrawn's return, which will galvanize the Imperial remnants and start another war. Former Jedi Knight Ahsoka Tano captured one of Thrawn's allies and learned of a secret map which is vital to the enemy's plan. Ahsoka now searches for the map as her prisoner, Morgan Elsbeth, that's the witch, is transported to the New Republic for trial. So yeah, that was a nice good crawl to tell everybody what was going on. I'm really excited to see Thrawn though. He's like one of the best villains in any medium I've ever seen. He's like super like meticulous. He's like this guy that thinks that like he can conquer people through their art. And he thinks like if I understand people through their art, then it's easier way to like figure them out, like different civilizations and things like that. Like he's mad, like cerebral like that. So like it'll be good to see when he comes back. Yeah, so that's the crawl. So we started at a Republic base, and one of the Republic bases saying like, oh, these Jedis that want to get on the base. And I was immediately like, there's not two Jedis trying to get on the fucking base. Like, you on
Oh,
mute.
and so was the captain. The captain was like, "Them ain't no motherfucking Jedi." All right, well, let me go see. But here's what I thought. I wasn't like grounded yet, so I was like, maybe they are Jedi. And my thing is, if you don't think they're Jedi, don't go with like you and like two stormtroopers. Like y'all need to just don't let them. Like he was really taking them like lightly, as if he wasn't transporting like dangerous prisoners.
And the base leader, and plus these two people come up there, and it's a guy and a girl or a young woman, and they're dressed like Jedis, but they roll up, and one of them is named Baylan, And the other one, we don't know her name yet. The blonde girl, we don't
Her
know her
name
name yet.
is I saw her name in the captions later, but if anybody watches Yellow Jackets, which I think we've talked about on the show, or I've recommended to you, she got the Misty Quigley wig on. So that's what I just referred to her as the rest of the time. She looks like this character who has like this crinkled blonde wig.
So basically they're like, yeah, we're not no Jedi. Start fucking them up, and they're there to get they're there to get Morgan Elsbeth out of like she's been caught. So basically, Ahsoka caught her, put her in prison at this New Republic base, and they're there to get him out. And basically, they run roughshod on the fucking base and they take her out, and they out of there. So then she tells when she's leaving, when she meaning Morgan is leaving, she tells them that Ahsoka knows about the map and she's going after the map. So apparently there's this big map, which we see later, that's going to lead to where they think Grand Admiral Thrawn is. Then the next thing we see is Ahsoka on this ruins planet. I thought it was an old Jedi temple, but apparently it was like an old like witch temple or something where they keep stuff. But originally I thought it was a Jedi temple. And she does some cool shit to like drop into the temple, and you start to see lights, the walls light up, and mechanisms going off, and it's like this chain reaction type shit. And it basically reveals this orb, which is the map that she's looking for. As soon as she grabs the map, these droids run up on her. And I was like, y'all niggas don't got no chance, immediately. And these droids try to fight her, she whips their ass. And then the droid self-destruct, so she had to get the fuck out of there.
And they self-destructed, like took like Hiroshima. Like she did. That's how you met Qin Yang, who's her like robot, but at the same like her R2-D2 basically, but
Her
her the
droid.
thing, yeah, her droid, thank you. But what was interesting about that fight for me was like it was my first time seeing her. But if you are at all like played the Star Wars video games or like watch just if you watched Star Wars as a kid and thought of it the way that you can think about wrestling, and like every player kind of has levels or whatever, anybody who I don't have any information about Ahsoka, but anybody with a double saber, I already know they're not for no games. That's just kind of how you know, like two sabers is like basically two swords in the House of Dragons. So I kind of knew that she was gonna be all right, but I also love that you can see from that very first scene she's very cunning and like strategic in how she even takes him down. Like she doesn't need to go hand in hand if she doesn't have to, but she also will, as we see throughout the next two episodes. Like if she got to fight, she'll fight. So I was definitely already impressed. Like, okay, she knows what she's doing, and just that's my way of like getting to know the character at that point.
So then they leave. She makes it right onto the ship, like right at the last minute before the island blows up or whatever the fuck they were at. And they roll out and they go back to the base, and Hera's there, which for people like me who watched Rebels, it was really exciting to see her in live action. Hera was like for those who don't know, Hera was the pilot of the ship of the crew on Rebels. And so it was Hera, Sabine, who we see later, Ezra, and what was the other dude's name? That's been so long since I watched Rebels. People are listening, are just probably making fun of me. But there was another Jedi who trained Ezra, who I can't even remember his name right now.
Well, I
Kanan.
did. Okay. I
And
did
so,
know Hera also, by the way. Like, she just looked familiar to me.
so yeah, she was the pilot on there, and she was like the team mom. So like think about like a soccer team, you have like the team mom. That's essentially what her character was. She's like always trying to fix things and make things right and get people on track, which we see later in these episodes of what she's trying to do with Ahsoka and Sabine to get them back on the same page. So she rolls up and she's like really high up in the New Republic right now, which is good for her. And Hera thinks that Thrawn is dead. So she's like, why are y'all looking for this map? That nigga's dead. Like, what are y'all talking about? And Ahsoka's like, no, I don't think she dead. Like, I don't think he dead. And then Hera was like, well, if he ain't dead, then Ezra may not be dead. And so for those of you who don't know, so what happened is, just I'll do a little bit of exposition. So at the end of Rebels, and we saw these things in, I don't know if you watched Boba Fett, or The Mandalorian, I mean The Mandalorian, but They have these things called these space whales, and they have like these space whales that can like travel through hyperspace. And so in Star Wars, they travel all through different planets, right? But they only stay within their galaxy. Like you never see outside of this galaxy that they're in, right? Well, these space whales can travel to other galaxies. And so in order to save the world, basically, Ezra got Thrawn trapped with these space whales, and they both went through hyperspace into another galaxy. And so that's how Rebels ended. So they are long, far away in some distant galaxy that no one's ever been to before. And so everybody assumes that they're dead. And so that's where this comes from. Everybody said that Ezra's gone, and the bad people want Thrawn back because he's like the best general, leader, admiral in the world. So that's kind of what happened with that. So
Okay,
Hera's like, okay.
I have a quick question because this is what I couldn't remember. I know that Clone Wars is like its own time period, so or obviously that's pre-Anakin, but I think I just don't understand.
Well,
So
no,
ex
Clone Wars is during Anakin. He was in the Clone
Sorry,
Wars.
it's pre
Darth Vader. Yeah,
But
but he's just
like
Anakin. Yeah.
right, so I know it's I guess what I'm trying to say is I know it's Hayden Christensen's season like that like
Yes.
That's my time period. But my question is, so the Republic, the Empire's beaten, the Republic comes in. So this is before the Empire Strikes Back and before like,
No, this is after the original movies. So
oh yeah, because
this
they're
is in
backwards, they're
between
backwards, they're
the
backwards.
yeah, this is in between the original movies and the new movies that came out the last few years.
So it's
So this is after Darth Vader's dead.
this is like the New Hope. Okay.
Well, this is after all of
After
that.
all of that. Okay, so
You
this
know
is
the movie with Rey and Jonathan Boyega?
that's
This
before
was
this.
Right before this,
Before
before
okay.
that.
So
This
it's
is
all
right
kind
before
of
that.
okay, so we are in the New Republic and nobody's supposed to be Empire whatsoever and everybody's been defeated, but
Yes.
there's but why are there so few Jedi?
Because they all got killed in the Order 66 in the Return of the Sith. When Anakin beat right before he turned into Darth Vader, before he got beat up by Obi-Wan and got dropped in the lava, he went in, they had that order, he went and killed all them kids. So almost all the Jedi got killed then.
Oh yeah. Oh shit, I forgot about the killing
So
them.
there's only
Oh
a
my
few
God.
Jedi left. There's only a few
Oh, I
Jedi left.
forget. So he did the Killmonger killing all the purple seat, the purple hearts. Got you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I
there's, I
forgot
mean,
that.
they keep popping up in different mediums. Like Kanan was a Jedi who we didn't know about. Ezra was a Jedi. You know, Grogu on the Mandalorian. Like they've been popping up in different mediums. But there's still like a few. There's only like a few Jedi left that are alive after Anakin killed all of them.
Okay.
So this takes place after the last original movie, Return of the Jedi, and before the new movies. So in the new movies, the First Order had already taken over, right? Because we see Kylo Ren and the new people in charge. This is before that happens. So
So this
we're
is
led
kind
to
of how
believe this
that
leads to that.
happens. Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
gotcha,
we're led to believe how this leads to how the First Order came back is my guess. Because at this point, the New Republic's in charge. So then they cut to Lothal. And Lothal was a big planet on Rebels, and they're setting up a monument for Ezra and the other rebels, so to like celebrate what they did for the cause. And Governor Azzedi introduces Sabine to speak, but of course she's not there. And you see Sabine riding on some speedster somewhere. He sends the military after her, be like, "Yo, go get her! Like, I don't know what the fuck she's about to do. Bring her ass back." They can't stop her. Until the point that she gets out of like city limits where they didn't have no jurisdiction, so they just let her go.
I will say this though, she could have just said a couple words
Well, she
and
was
kept it.
she's sad.
Okay, she said because she got dropped by Ahsoka.
No, she's sad because she misses Ezra, and I guess she's thinking about him for some reason a lot recently. And so, yeah, because
Got you.
when you see Sabine get back to her crib, she plays this message from Ezra,
Oh
and
yeah, okay, yeah. Everybody
Ezra,
misses Ezra and would like to know if he's alive.
yes, yep.
That makes sense.
And so Ezra, in the message, Ezra's basically saying like he had to make some tough choices, which is basically why he sacrificed himself. But he wants to see Sabine and everybody else to keep the fight. And so, just so you know, Rebels took place before A New Hope, right? So this was like right after Anakin became Vader. But like before, like Luke Skywalker, like all that stuff, like before the first movie. So that's when the Rebels TV show took place. So this is taking place years after that, after the TV show. We're trying to still figure out what's going on with everyone. So they go back to the Roaring Planet, and Morgan Ellsworth is there, and she's like, "Look, you don't need, if you want to find Ahsoka, go find Sabine. That's where Ahsoka's going to be." And so they cut back to Sabine having nightmares about Ezra because she still cares so much about him. Ahsoka shows up and tells her, "Look, we got this map." And Sabine's like, "I really don't want, I'm not really fucking with you right now." And so this was new to everybody, right? So even people who watched Rebels, at the end of Rebels, Sabine and Ahsoka like seem like they're gonna work together, but like it wasn't like formal or anything. And then like in this show, they're basically like Sabine was Ahsoka's Padawan, and she was training her some shit. So like that's new shit to everybody. So Sabine and Ahsoka got beef, but Ahsoka's like, "Look, man, look, whatever we got. We gotta put that shit to the side because this map can help us find Ezra." And so, of course, Sabine is down. And
Yeah, so she
so,
shows her the map, and Sabine, she's like, so here's the thing. She's telling Sabine she doesn't trust her. Not that she doesn't trust her. She's like, the map was hard for her to get, and she doesn't want the map to leave the ship because just
yes.
like, let's just be safe. But we also know that the Baylan and Misty Quigley is coming for her ass. Like they already know, like the witch has whatever supernatural shit she's aware of. Like she's kind of on some like Lady Morgan is on some like the universe has already decided that we shall win type stuff. So she is just able to be like, oh, go to this planet here. That's the person we need to fight next. Like the like fate is on our side. So they're already coming for her, like with the confidence that they're supposed to win this. And so it's not just that she's like trying to leave to like kind of process on her own. It's like we know that she's literally in danger and she's not necessarily being vigilant enough. Like not to say she's like lax, but homegirl just kind of got her door open kind of shit. Like she's not expecting them to come in and bust through her stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so, what was Ahsoka's droid's name again? Huyang?
Hu Yang, yep.
Huyang. So Huyang was talking to Ahsoka and basically giving her the like the 411 on who Baylan is. He was a former Jedi around the times of the Clone Wars. He broke away. And so, he got away. And it looks like that he's doing like an apprenticeship. Like he's got a little Padawan that he's teaching. And so they
So is
got,
Baylan a Sith or is that not even a concept
I don't
anymore?
think he's a Sith. And I don't think he's a Jedi. There's other Force users in the universe that we've learned in like other shows, but I
He's an
think he's like,
ex-Jedi
he
though
is
at
an
the same time.
ex-Jedi.
Yeah.
Yes,
But
but I
now
don't
he's
think he's a
something
Sith.
else. Okay.
Yeah, he's something
Gotcha.
else, but he's still very Force
Bad
sensitive.
guy. Very bad guy. Okay.
And so, Ahsoka, of course, like Chanel said, Sabine dips with the fucking map to go back to her crib because she says she's got to be able to think. Ahsoka gets a call with Hera. She's upset. She's like, "Yo, this is the shit I'm talking about. This is why we don't fuck with her no more. She always doing this shit, right?" And Hera's trying to calm her down, like, "Listen, she's just upset about some shit. Why don't you try supporting her? That type of shit." They cut to Sabine. Of course, she figures out how to open that shit because she's smart as shit. And she figures out how to open it. As soon as she opens it, a droid runs up on her, and they start fighting.
Immediately.
Immediately she gets the upper hand for a little bit until they kind of hem her up, and one of the droids takes it and starts dipping out. She gets free and starts trying to chase her. She gets down to the bottom, and then old girl with the blonde hair is right there waiting for her, and they get into a lightsaber fight. It wasn't a bad lightsaber fight, but Sabine kind of got her ass whipped and got stabbed.
It's clear, exactly. It's clear that Sabine is like not fully with it, like in the way that homegirl is able to wield it and has her shit together. So that's kind of like you see her losing spar after spar. Like not that she's completely weak, but homegirl is a little bit more focused, it seems.
Yeah, and so the episode basically ends with them getting away with the fucking map and Sabine being stabbed, laying on the ground. not knowing what's gonna happen. I mean, we know she ain't dead, but they wanted to make
I
it
did
seem.
not know because in
Oh,
my
you didn't know.
mind,
Oh, yeah, it's
no,
right, because
because,
you don't know these characters.
but no, but in my mind, I'm also like, I'm pretty sure that lightsaber through the kidneys, you're not gonna, like, you're not coming back from that. But apparently, they healed her up and it looked like a cigarette burn from here on out.
It did
So,
look like a cigarette burn. That is true. And so that was in episode one. Episode two was called Toil and Trouble. So this picks right up after that. So that's why I was saying this is like one big episode that they just broke down into two. Sabine's in the hospital recovering on Lothal. Ahsoka's right there. And of course, Ahsoka, the first thing she says, start questioning her about the fucking map. She's not even like, "Are you okay? Like, let me get you some fucking tea. You need some
One
weed."
thing I will say though is like she's clearly okay. She up.
Oh, that's what you think?
I mean, do I think that Ahsoka's not really giving like soft and cuddly, you know what I mean? Like there's just
No.
nothing about her that's giving that. And I also feel like Sabine isn't either. You know what I'm saying? Like
Well, that's
Sabine is
the
also
things.
giving.
So my friend Mike, his favorite Star Wars character is Ahsoka. She was big on the Clone Wars cartoon and she was on Rebels. And to him, and I've seen this online, this is like a completely different character to a lot of people. So she was not like this cold, like meticulous person that Rosario Dawson's playing. So it's throwing a lot of people off. There's like they're basically saying like she's playing a completely different character. My understanding, my guess is that she's a lot older now. Like this is like years from the Clone Wars and Rebels. So like maybe she's been jaded, she's been going through some shit and she's kind of fucked up now.
Absolutely.
But it's a completely different character to people who like fell in love with the Ahsoka character on these other shows. So it's kind of startling to a lot of people. So she's being really straightforward, Sabine. And Sabine, because she really wants to find Ezra, she's basically like, "Look, I'm good, but they took my shit." And Ahsoka's like, "Did you make any backups?" And she's like, "Yeah, I did, but the droid shot that shit and blew that shit up, so we don't have no backups."
Yeah, they really came through and got her ass. Like they put a hole in her. He killed he back like all the backups are gone. Like so they knew what they were doing. And she did get one of them, but another one like which is kind of there. And it's almost unfair, I think, with the droids. Because obviously like they're droids, like you have to be kind of master's level to beat that. But yeah, he ruined it all and she didn't even get a chance to really like process the map first. So I was worried, like clearly they're gonna figure this out some kind of way, but she hadn't really like processed it first. So I was like, is this like what are we doing? How are we gonna get here?
Yes, that's so Ahsoka asks, "How many droids were there?" And she basically tells him, "Did you get them all?" She was like, "Well, there's one left over that I got that I was able to get to." And so Ahsoka thinks, "Oh, if I can go," she's basically like, "Oh, I can go to the droid and, reopen their brain or whatever to, and get some information." So they cut to the island and Morgan put like this map on this thing and like, the map kind of opens up and you can see like the whole world and everything, and it's basically explaining to them like how they get to this outer space. They're actually using like not real science, but basically the idea is that like nobody's been to this other galaxy, right? So like no one knows how to plot a course to get there. So like if you just jump into hyperspace, you might run into a planet or like run into like something and just die, right? And so like nobody knows how to get to this other galaxy. And so they need this explicit map to tell them how to get there, or else they're gonna die getting there, right? And so that's what that was what this thing was. So basically they find out that like this is a really intricate map that can tell you how to get to this other galaxy. They go back to Lothal and Ahsoka is back at Sabine's, like the lighthouse where she was at. And she's basically like force reversing time to see what happens. And she basically baited this droid to come back and get her. And she fucks the droid up, cuts his head off, and then takes the head back to Sabine. Sabine's like a mechanic. So, like, she does this shit all the time, like on Rebels, like putting shit together. And so she's basically reconstitutes the droid to be able to get information out of it. And then basically, she can find out, where the people are, so they can kind of go check on them, to like track them to figure out how to get to where they're trying to go. Hera told Sabine, Hera comes in to talk to Sabine, and she's like, "Look, y'all need to get y'all shit together for real." Basically, it's basically what she said. She's like, "Y'all got this little beef going on. I know y'all tried to work together, didn't work out, but both of y'all are what's best for each other, and y'all need to get back together. So I like Hera being the team mom. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
So
I can imagine if you watch this show, it's probably is like really nice just to see your characters grow up, even if Ahsoka has grown up differently. You know, it's like it, you know, like they were like you said, much younger. So I enjoy that she's there to kind of give reassurance because clearly Sabine is like butthurt. And so she has to constantly just keep reminding her, like, no, like, just push through and just kind of be there for her because she will need your help. So I do think they have like a good balance of, even like Hu Yang and the what he adds to like that, you know, droids understand social dynamics to an extent. So he look around and be like, all right, I'm out. Like he can kind of sense the tension and gives them space. So I feel like they're setting up this character dynamic pretty clearly.
yeah, and Hera tells Ahsoka, like, dog, you take her back. Like, and Ahsoka's like, she's not ready. And so Hera tries to convince her to, like, yo, go back to her. Y'all need each other. So the planet's called Setos. I wrote this later in my notes. So they go back to Setos, and Morgan is like investigating the map and looking through it. And she basically goes into like this religious diatribe. She's like, Grand Admiral Thrawn is calling me. And like it's like pulling me back, and I'm meant to come and get him, type of a thing. And the girl apprentice in Baylan, she's kind of uncertain about this shit. She's like, hey dog, like what's gonna happen when we find Thrawn? And Baylan was like, look, what happens when we find Thrawn is we're gonna get some power, and power like you ain't never seen before. And so she kind of get excited about that. So I thought this was interesting that she's starting to have some doubts. So I don't know, she might turn or something later in the season. I'm not sure.
I'm not saying it's the same actress, but she kind of reminds me of the girl who was a part of the bad guy team in the new Mission Impossible, because she was also like a mercenary who kind of was like, wait, are we trying to destroy the whole world? Like, what are we doing here? But for the first half, she was just being ass and taking names. Like, and literally she had the same kind of wig. So that's just kind of what sent me. I think that's like the assassin look these days. But yeah, so there's a. There's again, like they're setting up the characters very well. We don't know what Baylan's like motivation is. Apparently, he promised something to Lady Morgan, and maybe it is just for the power. But we don't know like which is what's in it for her. Like, does she want to rule the world? Does she just like need support? Like, I think all of that is really interesting.
So the droid basically told him to go to this planet, Corellia. So Ahsoka and Hera get there at Morgan's facilities. And of course, you know, they're met with a bunch of nonsense from these people who we later find out to be Imperial sympathizers. But they're trying to put them through like the bureaucratic process, like, oh, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, you can't do that. And I was like, these people seem like they're on some bullshit. Which we later find out that they are on some bullshit. You know, as they venture out around the facility, Hera tries to like convince Ahsoka to take Sabine, like we said. Ahsoka's like hesitant, like she's not really trying to do that shit, but it's clear that this shit needs to happen.
Yeah, she literally is like, I don't know, she's not ready. She's like, okay, well, when's she gonna be ready? I don't know when she's ready. And I'm like, okay, so you might be on some bullshit, but it ends up working itself out later. But at that moment, I was like, girl, like you kind of really pressing her a little bit. Like she's here, she's trying to help you.
Well, we find out that Sabine tells Yang that Ahsoka just dipped in, like in the middle of training, just fucking left with like for no reason to her, at least like for no reason. That kind of pissed her off. And so Yang tries to tell her like, yo, Ahsoka did what she had to do, like, 'cause she had to go get this map. And so like she was really thinking about the bigger picture, and it wasn't anything directed at you. But Ahsoka seems like the type that like does these things and don't realize how they fuck with other people. And so, like, she's just making these decisions, and like, you're supposed to be helping someone. So, like, I think it's kind of weird on both sides. And we later, and she comes back to her senses a little bit later. Then, you know, I think I like this droid, Hu Yang. So, one of the big things with Star Wars, especially on all the TV shows, the cartoons, and the live action shows, is they always introduce new droids or have different types of droids, and you like people get attached to them. You know, R2-D2, C-3PO, BB-8 in the new movies, like there's different droids. What do you think about Hu Yang as a droid?
Yeah, I think like I said before, I feel like he has a little bit more social sense than R2-D2. No, not C-3PO, who's always so awkward. So I appreciate that, like, again, he kind of knows like when to leave and when not, like, to kind of mind his business. And I think that he's also very capable. Like, I think it's a lot to keep up with her, like, even from the when we first meet him, like saving her from the self-destructing droids. Like, I don't know. I think he's probably going to be clutch. Like, and I like him. I like him a little bit more than I like Hera's droid, which seems very
Chopper.
like, yeah, Chop is
Chopper is
a
very
little bit silly
popular.
with it. Yes, he is, but he's also like, of course, because everyone likes the silly droids. But yeah, so I thought he was cool.
So then basically Ahsoka ends up, actually she's going through this facility. She ends up getting in a fight with an Inquisitor. So for those who don't know, so in the Sith, right, they have like the rule of two, right? So there can only be two, a master and apprentice, right? So there's a master, Palpatine, and an apprentice, Darth Vader. Like, there's always only two. But they have these people called Inquisitors who are like Force-sensitive people on the dark side, but they're not Sith lords. They're just like, they're like, basically like they're assassins,
Psychics.
like people that they send out to like do to handle shit. And so they met this Inquisitor named Mehrock, who we see with this big ass mask on, who everybody is very interested to see who this character is. So like people who are watching the show are like having all these theories about who this is. Some people think it's Ezra. That's the guy that was fighting Ahsoka in that
Oh,
suit.
so they think they turned Ezra?
Yeah, people, because this Inquisitor nobody knows. It's not the Inquisitors from Rebels. It's some new Inquisitor. And he's fully masked. And all
Interesting.
the Inquisitors don't wear full masks like that. So this Inquisitor is like completely fully masked and
That's
fighting, so
interesting.
people want to
That
know
would
who
be
the fuck this
wild.
person is.
That would be
Yeah,
wild.
so it's a lot of characters on that. So they basically get into a fight. They fight to a standstill. He runs off and jumps on, gets on the ship, and then takes off. In the meantime, Hera's in the air, and I mean in the space, not in the air. And that's when we finally see Chopper again, which I love Chopper. And Chop, and they're trying to basically get a tracker on this ship so that they can follow it to wherever the fuck it goes. And Chopper is basically like, at one point, Chopper's like, "What the fuck you do to my shit?" And
Yeah, it's
Hera was
like,
like, "I ain't touch none of
I
this
ain't touch
stuff."
that goddamn thing. He's like, she like, look under the whatever, look under the course. He's like, oh.
Which is
So
so,
silly.
Ch Chopper is a silly person. Although Chopper did murder people in fucking in Rebels, he
Was
was
it like
not.
ne was it necessary?
Yes, Chopper
Okay.
would fuck you up when it was
Okay.
necessary.
That's good to know.
So,
He's kind of, it's giving Tony Soprano then.
I've never seen the Sopranos. Surprise. That's right. I've never seen the Sopranos. What?
I think we've talked about this, but I'm kind of tripping over that. I mean, look, hey, you know what? That's the next show. But besides that, I would just say, like, Tony was like, he'll tell you a joke, he'll ha 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 with you, he'll pat you on the back, and then he will fucking send you to swim with the fishes. So that's kind of, I guess, like the first, I'm sure there's better examples, but that's what made me think of him.
So when they get back to Lothal, Sabine pulls out her Mandalorian armor, and she feels it's basically like this whole thing snapped her back into who she was. So like she pulls her Mandalorian armor back out, she cuts her hair back. So in the show, she has a shortcut. She's you know she wears her fucking armor, and so she's back to being the Sabine that people know. She tells Ahsoka that she's ready. And Ahsoka's like, basically, like, it's about time. And it's basically like they both realize they need each other and they need each other to go get Ezra
But
and to stop them.
also going back to like me thinking she was just being like aggro, but she kept being like, she's not ready, she's not ready. So then to literally have her walk up and be like, all right, I'm ready. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. Ahsoka knew what she was talking about more than I did.
Yeah, back on Morgan's ship, they're basically outfitting all the starships with new hyperdrives so they can go to Thrawn's location. And they're going to set up like this ring so they can bring Thrawn back and, excuse me, in his fleets and stuff like that. So they're all ready to go. They don't know that they got a tracker on them though. So Ahsoka and them are going to be following them. But Morgan's basically like, yeah, we got to kill Ahsoka. And Balin seemed a little upset about that. He's basically like, do we have to kill her? I mean, I'll do it, but like, she's one of the last Jedis. Like, do we have to kill her?
And he tried to call him, she tried to call him sentimental, but he's right. Like, it's a lot to just like start knocking people out when all she's doing is like trying to get, well, I guess she is against the movement that they have going, but obviously you don't want to go up against her because this is her show, so it's a wrap for you. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be a showdown when time comes.
That was basically the end of episode two. I liked both episodes, but I thought episode one was a lot of exposition and a lot of explaining, which I needed, but it was kind of slow. Like it took me two times to watch episode one. So it was very slow. And then episode two was like, okay, this is where the show starts to pick up. Like, okay, we're about to go full blown. I think this is seven episodes. Let me see really quick. Star Wars Ahsoka. See how many episodes we got together on this one. It is number of seasons one. Eight episodes. So this is eight episodes season. So it's going to be pretty much a sprint to the end of this season if it's only eight episodes. It's not super long. So I'm really excited to see. One of the things I want to know is when are we going to finally see Thrawn? My guess will be episode five, like in the middle, is when we finally see him. But I know people are super crazy excited to see that. On my old podcast, I mean, not my old podcast, my other podcast, the Watch the Series podcast, we had on Heather Antos like three or four times. We became friends with her. She used to be an editor at Marvel, and she wrote the Thrawn comic book. And so, like, Thrawn's like her favorite character in the world. So I was like following her, and she's like crazy excited to see Thrawn. So, like, she doesn't know what's going to happen with this show, which even makes it more exciting. So I'm really super excited to see how they threw Thrawn in live action. And I'm really excited for you to see him because like he's like an incredible villain. Like in any genre or any show, like his villainy is up there. And so I can't wait to see how they do it in
And
live
we don't
action.
know yet what who's playing him.
I think Lars Mikkelsen is playing him.
Okay.
I think
Got
so.
you. Okay. Well, look, I
Yeah,
think
Lars Mikkelsen. Yeah, he played him in the cartoon. He's playing him in the live action too.
I genuinely don't have any expectations here. I'm just along for the ride trying to enjoy the show. And so whatever they give me, I think I'll be all right with, because I don't have anything to balance it with except for like high expectations for the actors, basically. But yeah, I think I'm looking forward to meeting more characters, getting grounded in the rules of this world. Like, because again, I was kind of confused about the timing just a little bit. I think that the acting is clearly there. Like, I appreciate them being in, truly being in costume and taking it very seriously, like to where it just feels like a real show and she just happens to be from whatever planet she's from. Like, not that I don't expect that, but like with The Mandalorian, you had like two, like, he's a regular dude who just wears the armor versus like, I guess I haven't watched a spinoff where like the person is in a character in a costume the whole entire time. So I appreciate that that's not even what it's about. It's just like this person who happens to be green, right, is like the mother, and this person who happens to have what do you know what it's called? Like whatever's going on in her head.
Well, no, that's just their race. Those are called
It's a
her race.
headdress. It's a headdress. Okay. A
No.
coiftif. I just looked it up.
Oh, that's what it's called.
It's a mark of great power. The triangular pieces are a coiftif gained as a trophy for single-handedly defeating predatory animals on the Togruta homeworld. So that makes sense.
Are you talking about Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about
Yeah.
Hera.
What's on Hera's head? She's just got like tentacles, basically.
Yeah, she's a Twi'lek, so they all have that. But she's the first Twi'lek that wasn't presented as like sexual. Like if you watch the movies, all the Twi'leks are like dressed in like bikinis and like super like sexual. And so like she was like the first one that we saw that was just like, oh, this is just a badass person, right? That's about to fuck shit up. Like a mom type character. But everyone else, like in all the other co contexts, like these sexual women. in that race of people.
So it's called Leku. They're the head tails or brain tails, fleshy appendages coming out of her head. Okay. Good to know. But that's what I'm saying. Like this is a white woman walking around with like 50 pounds of like dinosaur skin on her. And she's just like wearing her captain, what's it called? Her pilot jacket and just like rocking out. So I'm just kind of getting acquainted, I guess, like with everything. So that's kind of more what I'm saying. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more. I also am looking forward to people's thoughts on this show. Like I think with Disney Plus, sometimes shows do this thing where Disney Plus shows to me don't keep my attention. It's like I know it's good and I start, but I just stop and don't go all the way through. And I would love to see if this is able to like keep people's attention the whole time. And if that is the case, if that's not the case, then I would also be open to hearing what else people are watching, what else is important for them.
I agree. I'm excited about this, and I can't wait to the next episode. So please let us know what you thought about the first two episodes. You can email us at wewasdragonspod@gmail.com. Tell us what you think, what you're expecting to come in the series, any expectations you have for the show, or anything else about the show. Let us know, and we will be back next week to talk about episode three. Thank you all for listening, and talk to y'all later. Peace.
Bye. Wait, guys, stay rebellious.
Okay, stay
Bye.
rebellious. Stay rebellious.